Hashir, so we sometimes differentiate between, suppose a person says a Svara, and I say, oh, that's a good Svara for a Shabbos afternoon Shir. And sometimes I'll say, oh, that's a good Svara for a Shabbos morning Shir. So those who have not been in the Shir yet may not understand what I mean by that. So you have to understand Orah Torah, Shul and Bergerfield, to understand what that means. So in the morning, Shabbos morning, I give a sermon, like a drush, and that's a sermon exactly. Not about, you know, the springboard is usually not the front page of the New York Times or anything like that. It's a drasha. It's a drasha about Hashkofa, about Machshava, sometimes Musa, David Chizik, Cyrus. And I don't usually give a shir in halacha. I very rarely start off a drasha Shabbos morning quoting a Baruch Be'er. Unless that's what a Baruch Be'er CD is about, some, you know, makers and Chashukah Batayim, a different story. So the morning is a morning. The morning is a sermon slash drasha. Shabbos afternoon Shia, that's usually a lumbus Shia, either halach l'maisa or some lumbus or a combination of the two. But it's definitely, there I'll quote a Reb Chaim and a Reb Baruch Be'er and a Rabban and a Raivet and a Chaschid. That's the style of the afternoon. So sometimes we tend to almost divide up Torah into two different compartments, two different areas. We speak about the Drush, the Hashkofa, and the Machshava Shabo, which there clearly is a major, major component of Torah is the Machshava Shabo, Haraya, all of Sefer Brachos, 99% of Sefer Brachos is Machshava, and Musar, and Chizah, and Tzairus, and important lessons of history, and Midas, and Nechet, that's with the exception of three mitzvahs, that's the bulk of Sefer Bereishis, and a good part of Sefer Shmos, and a good part of Sefer Bamidbar, and good parts of Devarim. So a lot of the Torah is the Bechizach, Vesayrus, and Musar, and teaching us the Acheres, etc. Then there's the Chilek Halacha Shabo. So Chilek Halacha Shabo, well, that's half of Sefer Shmos, and all of Sefer Vayikra, and half of Bamidbar, and a good portion of Devarim, and a little smattering in Bereishis also. So there are two different Halachim in Torah. So we find in Tosh B'Peh also, we find that on the one hand we have the bulk of Tosh B'Peh is Halacha and Lomdas, and the numbers are 80%, 85%, 90% of Masechtas, and then yeah, within every Masechta you have a little bit of Drush, a little bit of Devi Chizik, a little bit of Musar as well. So again, so there are clearly two different Halachim of Torah, but very often the two merge together. And very often the greatest lessons of Hashkafa Satira can be found through the world of the halacha. That rather than a person just getting up and, you know, varfin, a drasha and saying, give some sermon about something, but very often, since Taras Hashem Tabim, she was nefesh, the Torah of the Rebbeinu Shalom is tzkul achad, just as we say that it's a package deal, the whole world of Torah in terms of halacha is a package deal. So if there's a package between the Torah's halacha, the Torah's agra, the Torah's drush, it's supposed to all merge, it's all supposed to be in unison together. It said in the name of the Gra, something along the lines of that when the Gra spoke about the drush and the Torah's, he wasn't only speaking about what we call a God at this in sermons, he was talking about Torah's Anishtar as well, which is also a chelik, of course a chelik in Torah that's beyond, beyond for most of us, myself included. But Gra said that if you really truly understand the chelik Anishtar, you really understand the chelik Anigla, if you understand both properly, which the Gra did, so then you realize that the two go hand in hand, there's no steer between them. The reason why sometimes people view them as a stira because they don't understand Nigla, they don't understand Nistar, so they don't understand anything, so then everyone's like a big stira. But the Torah Shem Tumishim is Navish, Kulim Miro, Echad Nitnu, it's all the same. So the Rambam had this style of Jerusha also. The Rambam, at the end of each Sefer Mishnah Torah, he gives you some kind of a Jerusha, he gives you some different chizuk, some words of inspiration at the end of each Sefer in Mishnah Torah. And it always emanates directly from the world of Halacha. So the Rambam, at the end of Chos Me'ilah, he just wrote about Chos Me'ilah, so he tells you a little something you can learn from the Parsha Me'ilah, you know, what you can walk away with from Me'ilah. Or he speaks at the end of Hukas Temura, he tells you what can we learn from Temura. At the end of Hukas Mikvos, he tells you what kind of Jewish can we learn from Mikvos. So this is a very a style that's working, obviously, with this true assumption that the Torah Shem Tumish and Snafish, that we can learn a lot from the world of Halach, the world of Lumbus, about what our Machshav, what our Shkaf Sechaim is supposed to be as well. So I think that this is a good introduction to try to get a little bit of a sense as to what some of the messages are. Rosh Hashanah is a very, very profound day. It's multifaceted, like everything in Torah, is many, many different layers and different aspects to it, but just to understand a little bit about what we're supposed to be focusing on. Sometimes people get overwhelmed in Rosh Hashanah. It's a very, very long davening and a lot of things flying around, and they're not quite sure, is Rosh Hashanah apples and honey? Is Rosh Hashanah New Year's cards? Is Rosh Hashanah, Tashlech? What exactly is the Ikar Devarim? What exactly are we supposed to be focusing on? So a good place to start is to understand just a little bit about the ABCs in terms of some of the halachas and within the world of halachas, understand a little bit about what the Kavanas HaDvarim is supposed to be. We spoke to those who are in the... Who's in the Mishnah Berurah Habur with me in the afternoons? Who's there? Is you? Okay, so I can repeat one thing I said yesterday. You'll be Michael's on? Okay, good. So we... There is a famous machlekes harishonim about what the role of the recitation of the malchus, zechoros, and shofars is. What exactly are we trying to accomplish when we say the psukim and musaf of malchus, zechoros, and shofars? So the Ramban in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Emor shows you from the Gemara, the subject of the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah is that it's only takanas hachomer. It's not really a din min haTorah. The Chum instituted the recitation of malchus, zechoros, and shofars. And unlike Rashi, which Ramban makes reference to and disagrees with, Rashi seems to learn that the saying of the Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars is really a mitzvah b'deraisa. Rashi's shita is that when you have a shofar and you're ready blowing the shofar, so then you're mechuyav min haTorah to accompany the shofar with the recitation of these psukim of Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars. Rashi learns this all out from the phrase of Zichur and Truah Mikra Kodesh, quoting the Gemara in the Yom HaShoshana, Rashi stands at the Deir from that Gemara, and the Ramban disagrees, but basically, according to Rashi, the recitation of the Pesukim, Hachiz, Echaz, and Shofers, is a real bona fide mitzvah b'deraisa. And the Ramban, again, the Ramban holds that it's only a mitzvah b'deraisa. Afal pichein, even though the Ramban's shita is, the saying of the Pesukim, Hachiz, Echaz, and Shofers, is only b'deraisa, it's most probably a different type of a din derabbanan, a much higher plane, much higher level than most other dinim derabbanan. The Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes a maimer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara quotes Rabbanu Shalom and says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Lufanei Malchios, Kadesh Tam Nechuni Aleichem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Lufanei Zichronos, Kadesh Sheyalu Zichonechis Am Taiva Lufanei, Imru Lufanei Shofros, Bemel Vashayfaros. The Gemara quotes, puts the words, so to speak, of Yachal into the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking of us to recite Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to recite Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars. So this Gemara is a support for Shitas Rashi, that the saying of the Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars is the real Din Min HaTorah, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Generally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, that's a Din D'Oraisa. When the Rabbi speaks, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do something, that's what we call by definition a Din Min HaTorah. So how does the Ramban understand that Gemara? The Gemara says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lufanei Malchus. And the Ramban turns around and says that it's only a derabbanan. What does the Gemara mean? It says Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's on this Gemara that the Ritva is a very, very famous comment. We've quoted this Ritva many times. The Ritva Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin says that sometimes dinim derabbanan are purely instituted by the Chachamim, and sometimes dinim derabbanan are such that not that the Chachamim instituted something, but rather the Chachamim are magala to us that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted of us. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell it us if he wanted us? Because not everything is expressed explicitly. There's what's called the Tzivei Hashem and there's the Ratzon Hashem. We spoke about this many, many times. Rav Chaim Vassar developed this Yisod in Arichas and many, many different places. But basically says the Ritva already started the ball rolling. The Ritva already developed this Yisod in Rosh Hashanah after Zayin and says that there are some things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says explicitly and there are other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drops hints for and wants us to figure out on our own. But in Kaviyochel, in his heart of hearts, this is really what he wants of us. So the Ritva says that whenever the Gemara says that Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lufanei Malchios, so it doesn't mean that it's a tziva. It doesn't mean that if a person doesn't say Malchios, he's mevatel the mitzvah deraisa Malchios. There's no such mitzvah. The Ramban is right. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Ramban. The Ritva says, no, the Ramban is right. That the recitation of the Malchios, Zechonos, and Shofars is not a chiyuv min haTorah. It's not on par with kiyuv shofar. It's only a chiyuv min derabbanan, but it's more than just a regular derabbanan. It's not like Neris Chanukah. It's much more, it's much deeper than Neris Chanukah. It's not like a Tilas Yadayim. It's much more important than a Tilas Yadayim because the Rebbeinu Shlom put his stamp on it by saying, I'm able to find Malchus. The Rebbeinu Shlom was Megala to us, that we have the Teshuvah Pes, Megala to us, that the Rebbeinu Shlom himself wants the recitation of Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofars. So whether you understand the Miras HaPesukim through the eyes of Rashi, that they're a real bona fide chiyuv deraisa, that's what the Kavanas HaTorah is with the phrase zichron truah. Yom truah means to blow, and zichron truah means to recite psukim. Whether you go down Rashi's route, whether you go down the route of the Ramban or the Ritva and others who say that the Mechayev is only with the Rabbanan, but it's a real Kiyum, it's a real Ratzin Hashem, it's a real something that's much more profound, much deeper than just a plain and simple Dimmid the Rabbanan. So what is it exactly? So no matter how you slice it, it's something very, very important. So what is this all about, the recitation of the Malchus Zecharos and Shofars? What are we trying to accomplish with the recitation of Malchus Zecharos and Shofars? The Rambam in Pergil Hilchos Tshuva, when he speaks about the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, so he breaks down the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar to two parts. The Rambam describes, he starts off, it's almost like a little bit like apologetic. The Rambam writes, Alpha Pisha Tkiyas Shofar B'Shana is a Choyki, it's a Gzeres HaKosafi, Gzeres HaMelechi. The Rambam starts out by saying that, going to talk a little bit about the messages of Tkiyas Shofar, but I'm prefacing by saying that we don't really understand what it is. Rambam opens up by saying, just make it clear that we don't really truly understand the depths of the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. It's profound. It's past the point of human understanding. It's like Paradum. And we'll never really understand it. Nevertheless, in the same breath, the Rambam turns around and says, even though it's a Gzeres HaKosav, it's a Gzeres HaMelech, there's a hint within Tkiyas Shofar. There's an important message we could walk away with from Tkiyas Shofar. So we acknowledge that we'll ultimately never really understand its truth, but the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us something that we can hold on to, we can grab on to. There is something that speaks to regular people like ourselves. Ram speaking about himself. Regular people don't understand the depths of all the Chukim and all the Gezeres HaKosos and all the Gezeres HaMelechs, but there is something that we can walk away with of significance. It's interesting, this phrase that the Rambam has, that he almost like introduces by saying it's a Gezeres HaKosav, and then he tells a little bit what to derive from it. This is the common refrain in the Rambam. The Rambam has almost an identical phrase in the end of it with Mikvos, when he talks about Tevila B'mikvah. So the Rambam writes that Tevila B'mikvah is clearly a Gezeres HaKosav. It doesn't make any sense. It's not that the person's dirty and then he washes it off. It's clearly much deeper, much more profound. Clearly Tevila B'mikvah is from something that's above and beyond that human comprehension. But the Rambam says, Remez Yesh B'davar. Almost the identical question, Remez Yesh B'davar. And in Mikvos, he gives you what he thinks the remez is. So back to Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam tells you, what do I think the remez of Tkiyas Shofar is? So he says, the remez of Tkiyas Shofar is to be chayzeh b'tshuva. He says, Uri Yishenim Mishnaschem, it's like an alarm clock. It's like it's a call to wake, to rise, to begin to do tshuva. Because you have to walk to Yom Adin, and if the Yom Adin, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is chayzeh, is sits on Kisei Adin, and he's looking into Sifri Chayim, Sifri Meisim, Sifri Lefanav, so you better wake up, you better be chayzeh b'tshuva, and therefore Rosh Hashanah is a call to tshuva. So, again, the depths of the real meaning of Tkiyas Shofar we'll never comprehend, but clearly Shofar is a call to tshuva, and that is something that we can identify with, we can hold on to, and that's the Remez Yesh B'davar. So it's a little bit hard to understand what exactly the role of Tkiyas Shofar is in the entire tshuva process, because if it's a call to tshuva, it's not an immediate call to tshuva, because we don't find any of the procedures of tshuva that we usually associate with the mitzvah of tshuva present on Rosh Hashanah. We have a very, very long davening on Rosh Hashanah, and there's nothing in the text of the tefillah. The basic tzuras at tefillah was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. The piyutim added on later, okay, that's true, but the basic tzura of the davening musaf, the nusach tefillah, the basic davening have been around for quite some time. And there's nothing in there that indicates that it's a Yom Tshuva Bechlal. The things that we usually associate with Tshuva, the Rambam himself, Nechaz Tshuva, spells out by saying Tshuva is made up of Charata, feeling bad about what you did, Bimefar Sachet, according to many, you have to specify which Chatam you did, you have to have a Kabbalah Yosud Lovel, you have to have a Kabbalah, you're not going to do it anymore. Those are the text of Tshuva. That's the lingo, that's the nusach that we associate with Tshuva, which is exactly, obviously, apropos with Yom Kippur. 90% of our davening Yom Kippur is made up of that. All the achets, the shamdos, the slichos, everything you say in Yom Kippur, that's very, very much in sync with Yom Kippur being a day of Tshuva. That I got. But Rosh Hashanah doesn't really speak about Tshuva. There's no vidui, no formal vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Not only is there no formal vidui in the davening, the one phrase in the davening Rosh Hashanah which may be misconstrued as a statement of vidui is the first phrase, Avin Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, and some of the Mefarshim say you shouldn't even say that in Rosh Hashanah. You should leave out that Avin Malkeinu. And even most of us do say Avin Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha in Rosh Hashanah, So the Mefarshim bend over backwards to try to explain why it's not a vidui. It's not, you don't clap chatama for nechah. It's not b'teres vidui. It's like different. Whatever it is, vidui it's not. Tshuva it's not. Because Hashem is not really a time to be chayzi b'tshuva. If on the one hand, the whole goal of the mitzvah for our purposes, the olam hazeh, for the niglas, the people who are not in the olam hanistaros, those who only work with what's nigla to us, so the nigla of Rosh Hashanah, the nigla of Shaifer is tshuva, but we're not even doing tshuva like we're used to doing tshuva. So what's the bi'ur adava? What exactly is this chelek tshuva shabo of Rosh Hashanah? So the chayra, it appears that the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is not a tshuva on ma'isim. That's not what we accomplished. That we have plenty of time. We're going to have a session of tshuva, we're going to have Yom Kippur. That's going to be a tshuva on ma'isim. On Yom Kippur, we're going to spell out chatos lefanecha this, chatos lefanecha that, chatos this, chatos that. We're going to go through the alabays, and then the alabays get bigger, and the chayyot get a longer alabays. A lot of things, and the Oscar has more. It's a big, it's a long alabays. But you don't put any of that in Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is not a tshuva on the details. It's not a tshuva on the ma'isim b'chlam. Rosh Hashanah is, rather than a tshuva on the ma'isim, is more of a prerequisite to tshuva. If you don't have Rosh Hashanah, the whole goal of Rosh Hashanah is to be a prerequisite for Yom Kippurim. It means the real, the essence of the period of assessment, which was really Yom Kippur. That's really the name of the game. That's what the Torah spells. The Torah speaks so much more about Yom Kippur. The Torah, in the Torah Shebichsav, in Parshas, first of all, Parshas Achrei Mos talks about the Vedis Hayom. And then even in the Parshas HaMoadim, so the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, and it's very clear what Yom Kippur is. Ki Yom Kippur mulachar pelalechel, ki Hashem lakechem, ki olah. It's very, very clear that Yom Kippur is a day of Kippur. It's clear that Yom Kippur is a day of Tshuva. There's no question about that. Rosh Hashanah is two psukim. It's very, very little. It doesn't tell you in the Torah Shebichsav what exactly is going on. Yalachem Shabbosan, Zichron Tshuva Mikra Kodesh. The Torah gives us a smattering of a mitzvah Tkiya Shofar. It's a day of Zikaron. It's an Inyan of Yom Adin. It's very unclear what's going on. So the answer is that the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that Rosh Hashanah is the hachana for Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is the period. You can't open up with Yom Kippur. You can't, you know, have a whole summer and then, you know, then start school, have Labor Day, and, you know, have a week of classes, you know, start some papers already. And then Baruch Abu, here I am, I walk to Shon Yom Kippur and I start, that was called Nidra. It's not going to work. I said, you need a hachana. So what is the hachana? So the hachana is the prerequisite for tshuva. And what is the prerequisite for tshuva? So unlike Yom Kippur, which is a tshuva on Naisim, the Piyaz of Rosh Hashanah is a tshuva on Machshava. It's a tshuva on perspective. It's a tshuva on Hashkafas HaChayim. It means you can't be chayzeh b'tshuva until you have the proper Hashkafas HaChayim as to what I'm supposed to be doing. If I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, how can I legitimately be chayzeh b'tshuva on the things that I did that were wrong? Otherwise, my tshuva is just klapei chutz. Chatasi avisa, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that, I'm sorry I did that. It doesn't mean anything. It's no significance unless I have the picture in front of me what life is supposed to be like. So Rosh Hashanah is the time to begin to take a step back and focus, what are the things I'm supposed to be focusing on? So what are those things? What is important in life? What are the things that I'm supposed to be dedicating my time and energy to? So it would appear that that's exactly the significance of the three parts, of the three psukim, the three sets of psukim, the three brachas. That is the Machas of Chosim Shefers. Machas of Chosim Shefers tells us that these are the things that are important in life. These are the things you're supposed to be thinking about. And anything that enhances these three goals, these are your goals, this is your constitution. This is your mission statement in the world. He said, anything that enhances these three things, so it's supposed to be followed. Anything that interferes with your ability to live a life dedicated to the ideals of Machas Chanas and Shofros, it's supposed to be avoided. Once I have it clear in my head, I spend the whole day in Shul and Rosh Hashanah, getting clear and just chazering over what my mission statement is, then I can understand, is my life in sync with that mission statement? If I was a marshal, I assume that any good business every once in a while has a din b'chesh. We're going to try to figure out what are we trying to accomplish. Any good school, any good shul, any good institution. So you always try to make sure and say, well, we have our constitution, we have our mission statement. Are we living up to that or not? So if you don't go back to what the ABCs are and try to figure out what the goal is, so then you just, you know, kasum baruba, then you just. You're throwing here, you're throwing there, you're running events here, you're doing things here, you're giving classes here, you're selling it. It's not part of any coherent strategy in terms of life. So Rosh Hashanah is a good time to begin to plan strategies, to go back to the basics, back to the drawing board, and to go back and figure out what the strategy is, and now see, when I try, once I understand what my strategy, what my goals are, then I'll be able to understand what fits those goals or not. So what are the goals, Lamaisa? If you had to break down what the goals of a Jew is supposed to be, what's it all about? So the first goal is the Bracha Malchias. The first goal is Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. It's supposed to be an all-encompassing understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech HaOlam. That sounds very, very simple. That's the basics. That's the first of the goals. That's, in a certain sense, the most important of all the goals. That Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. That's our reason for existence, is Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. What does that mean practically, and what are some of the things that sometimes interfere with our ability to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim properly? So the Torah gives us the opportunity and the obligation to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim twice a day. There's the mitzvah Kriya Shema. Once a year we make a big to-do about Malchus Shemayim, and every day we make a little to-do about Malchus Shemayim. Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, Kriya Shema Shalosh Shachris, Kriya Shema Shalivis, twice a day. So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema, when he introduces the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah deraisa b'shachvav kumecha. He says, and therefore we say these three parshias. The Kriya is gimel parsha, say lezoi nikas Kriya Shema. So the Rambam, kedaka b'kodesh, the very first halachas of any given series of halachas, the Rambam defines what the tamtzis advarim is, what the essence of the mitzvah is. So over here, the Rambam defines what is Kriya Shema. The Rambam says Kriya Shema is the three parshas of Kriya Shema. So it's really a big tell of this Rambam, because there is a big machlokes in Rishonim how much of Kriya Shema is required in the Torah. Some Rishonim say just Shema Yisrael, and some Rishonim say V'yahavta, and some Rishonim say Me'vahoya. But nobody says Vayomer. The third parsha of Kriya Shema is not a deraisa Kriya Shema. I'm not negating the requirement to say it. You have to say it for a different reason. You have to say it because it's the Chiyus Tehis Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah to mention Tehis Mitzrayim every day. So the Gemara says in Brachas, that's why we say Vayomer. So the Rambam, when he's defining what Kriya Shema is, he somehow put into Kriya Shema the third parsha of Shema, which is a big pella. I mean, in the Siddur, it's called Kriya Shema. So when we say to a person, did you say Shema? We mean in our lingo, we mean the third parsha also. But the emphasis is there are only two parshas of Kriya Shema. It only says B'shachov Kamecha for the first two parshas. And even those two parshas, not even sure how much of them are deraisa. But the third parsha is B'chlana, doesn't say B'shachov Kamecha. And the parsha of Tzitzis has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. So why did the Rambam incorporate the part of Kriya Shema? So we spoke about this more at Pesach time. Famous Bia from Reb Chaim. That Reb Chaim said that the Shitz HaRambam is that the mitzvah of Zechiras Hatzias Mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah. It's not as the mitzvah of Kriya Shema and the mitzvah of Hatzias Mitzrayim, Horaya. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs never quotes the mitzvah of mentioning Hatzias Mitzrayim day and night. The Rambam Minuchas Kriya Shema says you have to do it. The Rambam says, Chayav Adam Lahaski Hatzias Mitzrayim Yom V'Layla. He quotes the Mishnah in Brachas in the end of the first Brach of Maskir Hatzias Mitzrayim B'Leilos, but he doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. Why doesn't it count it as a separate mitzvah? So Reb Chaim said, because it's not a separate mitzvah. Because it's subsumed under a pre-existing mitzvah. The Rambam's derech in many mitzvahs is that when you have a big mitzvah, which has a lot of different parts to it, so the Rambam doesn't quote all the parts. Because one mitzvah says, one mitzvah bring a korban ola. You have shech the ola and zrukas adam and kabbalas adam. The Rambam doesn't quote 15 parts. There's a mitzvah called the korban ola. So when the Rambam doesn't quote, there's no mitzvah to eat in the sukkah and sleep in the sukkah. There's one mitzvah, yeshiva b'sukkah. So there are many, many components of yeshiva b'sukkah. So when the Rambam quotes as a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, subsumed, included in the category of Kriya Shema, is the mentioning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's unlike the Shagasai. The Shagasai said that there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, there's a mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you can have a person chayv in one apart from the other, you can have a man for one, not the other. Shagasai has in his sefer that the two olagam are different. But Reb Chaim disagreed with the Shagasai. Reb Chaim said, the Ldiach and Lashon Rambam is clear. That maybe Shabbosai is radical. It doesn't be shown, but Bilashin Aram, it's clear that Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. What does that mean? What's the relationship? Why is it that Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? So, in the world of Machshava, basically, or Chaim was driving at, is runs along the following: that Kriya Shema is a Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim is predicated on Amunah. You have to be ma'amin. A makabal Rebbe Shalom is a melech. I'm not really sure that it's true. That's not a kabbalah samach shemayim. Kabbalah, lekabel something means you believe it. Kabbalah means that there's an amuna there. You have to be really honestly believe sincerely in the words that you're saying. So a person, to be makabal malach shemayim, we have a little bit of a problem, because a person belts out, screams out Shema Yisrael,
Makabo Malch Shemayim, believe Shalim, I believe in Munish Shalim, the Munish Shalim is the Melech, Machim, Lochim. And then someone taps him on the shoulder and says, really? How do you know? I says, that's a good kasha. I thought it was kasha. I didn't think of that kasha. How do I know? So that's what the last parasha of Kriya Shema says. The last parasha of Kriya Shema is what ultimately enables us to say B'munah Shleim, the first pasuk. Because we were present and we were perfect and we saw the events of Tzias Mitzrayim. And we have Edim Nemonim that my father told me and his father told him and his father told him, and there were Edei Re'iyah who Mamar saw Tzias Mitzrayim. Ish b'pi ish, dor achar dor, we're telling our children from generation to generation the events of Tzias Mitzrayim. This is not based on Stam. This is not based on, I think the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world. You know, it looks that way in the lab, you know, based on everything. It's the most logical explanation of how this world came about. No, Tzias Mitzrayim is much more profound than that. Tzias Mitzrayim is Eidus Re'iv. Tzias Mitzrayim is, it was witnessed by hundreds of thousands of people. Rabbi Yehuda Levi writes in the Kuzari, that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah Anecha Hashem Elokecha, it doesn't say Anecha Hashem Elokecha Shebarasi Shemayim Baretz, because you can't come to a person with such a time. You can't introduce to a person and say, believe in the Baruch Hu because he created the world, because the person is going to respond, how do you know? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. So the answer is, the Baruch Hu says to a person, Asher Tzeisicha, I took that, you saw it. You saw Asher Tzeisicha Meretz Yisrael. Once you saw Asher Tzeisicha Meretz Yisrael, then you realize, you know what? If the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim, he changed the world. He created Esamachas. He created Kriyas Yam Suf. He turned the world upside down. He's the Borei Olam. Avad the Bereishis Bralakim. Of course I believe in Bereishis now. But the source of all the Amunah B'Hashem is Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's perhaps why the Rambam felt that the mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a separate kiyum. The mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the mitzvah of Kriyas, but it's the same thing. Because Kriya Shema is not just stop to mouth the word Shema Yisrael, just to say Shema Yisrael full day. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. So Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, part of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is the Amunah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this idea that Amunah is so critical that our entire avodah, everything we stand for, is hinging upon Amunah. If our Amunah is not strong, is not solid, so then, the Nafla Yisrael, Nafla Binyans, and everything's going to crumple. If we're going to start the Sveikis, if we're going to start the question, did the Rosh Hashanah really take us out of Mitzrayim? Did he take us out of Mitzrayim? Did he create the world? Did he not create the world? Once we start to open up the door for Pikpukim in Amunah, so then the entire Baal HaShemayim falls to the wayside. So if Baal HaShemayim falls by the wayside, so then what impact is that going to have on our Maisim? How is a Yom Kippur going to look like if our Rosh Hashanah is not intact? If we don't truly believe B'lev Shalom in Melech HaOlam, if we don't really accept the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Melech, if we can't at least formally come to the realization that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam, B'lev Shem Safek, and all that that entails, so how are we going to realistically live lives of Torah and Mitzvahs? If there's some kind of a crack, some kind of a pagam in the Amunah itself, so enough like I said, enough Labinyan, it's not a crack in a detail. It's a crack in the very essence. The whole foundation is faulty. So it's because of this reason that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in fact, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, why the Torah is so machped and so careful about the different things that we think about and the different philosophies that we're exposed to. You know, we know that the Torah spends so much time, 90% of Sefer Devarim is dedicated to the terrible, you know, impact that Avodah Zarah has on us. A person gets involved in Avodah Zarah and starts a Tirush Shigutzeim V'Yaskiolem, full Sefer, full Pashat Netzavim. Well, so many Pesukim talk about the terrible, terrible impact that Avodah Zarah has on us. Because Avodah Zarah is not like a side mitzvah. It's not like something that's tangential. I'm basically from, but I'm not so careful. I speak a little Lashon Hara and I worship a little Avodah Zarah on the side. And it doesn't. That's not pshat. Avodah Zarah is the Yesodei Yesodis. When there's something fakrumt about your Amunah, there's something fakrumt about your Ikari Hamunah, so then you can't discuss anything. There's nothing else to talk about. So the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Hilchos Avodah Zarah that all the chumras that the Torah gives us, all the siyagim that the Torah gives us about Avodah Zarah, namely that you're not allowed to read Sifrei Avodah Zarah and you're not allowed to think about Avodah Zarah and you're not supposed to delve into it, with the absolute exception of lahavin lahayrus, whatever that means, and whoever that's for, and not necessarily for everybody, but by and large, a person has to take the attitude that I don't want to think about these things. Why not? Why is the Torah so come down so hard? So the Rambam explains, because the Rabban Shem Kriya, Kosh Baruch Hu knows how our side works. So Kosh Baruch Hu knows that if a person starts to question things, if a person starts to think about it a little bit, maybe there is something to it. Let me just study it a little. Let me see. I don't really believe it. Maybe there's a shtip or something to it. Once a person starts to think, maybe there's a little something to it, there's a little something more to it, a little more to it, before you know it, the person comes in full-blown Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah for days, the identical thing is true for Inyanim of Kfirah, Inyanim of Apikorsis, Inyanim of the touch on Ikari Amunah. If a person, you know, does an Aveira here and there, a person speaks a word Lashon Hara here and there, slips a little bit, a person, is not as careful and every product shop is here and there, we make mistakes, we're not as good as we should be, we don't daven perhaps as much kavan as we should and we're not learning, we do mistakes, we patch them up, we try our best and we try to move forward. But there are certain areas where there's no room for error. The Ram says in Avodah Zarah there's no room for error, and in Kfirah there's no room for error. There's no, the risks are too great. If a person begins to develop, begins to question certain things, the Ram spells out what they were. This is how a person works. This is how the psyche, this is how the Baruch created our minds. He knows how we work. So the Rambam describes that this is how a person works. First he starts to think a little bit, is the Torah 100% true? Maybe not. Maybe it is Chayav Onesh. Maybe not. And maybe it is Yimas Mashiach. And before you know it, once the person has the maybes, and once he has a little bit of fakeness, and a little bit of a mashal, so the Rambam says, before you know it, the person is a full-blown kofer. A full-blown kofer of the Torah. And once he reaches that point, so imagine what a Shmiras HaMitzvahs is going to look like. Imagine the Shmiras HaMitzvahs of a person who doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Imagine the Shmiras HaMitzvahs of a person who doesn't really believe, he's not even sure he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's a good practicing Jew. Good Jew. And it's a joke. It's a late Tzomus. It's a break in the very foundation. So if you want to know one of the things that we could think about, when we think about Malchias and Rosh Hashanah, one of the things that we can begin to put into place is the significance of Amunah in our life. Significance in being a ma'amin in the Ikari HaMunah, and the significance of not tolerating any types of deviations within the realm of what constitutes authentic Torah Hashkaf Sechayim. When I'm thinking about Hashkaf Sechayim, I'm not talking about what you think about the Medina. I'm talking about the basic Hashkaf Sechayim in terms of truth of Torah Shebichtav, and the truth of Tashi Baper, and the truth of Schaiv Einesh, and B.S. HaMashiach, and Chiyas HaMeir. The Ikari HaMunah that have been handed down to us, door to door, from Chazal. The Rambam just collected the different Mamari Chazal and put it into songs of Yud Yil Animamim. But the basic Mahalach HaChayim, the basic Hashkafas HaTorah that's been part of our Mitzvah, from Ishri Pish and Meshur Rabbeinu, to be mechazik ourselves in these things, and to be aware that there are very, very negative influences that are very, very close by, that try to, not to make us not from, that's not the goal. No one around is trying to make it not from. There are people trying to make it not from, we're not even going that way. But it's just get you to think a little bit, that's the word, get you to, exposure a little bit, ask certain questions, it'll help you grow, it'll help you mature, at the expense of destroying your entire foundation of Emunah, at the expense of destroying your entire Hashkaf HaSachayim, at the expense of destroying your entire ability to be Ovid Hashem. That's Bracha Malchus. Malchus means that a person gets up in Rosh Hashanah and says, I'm a Kabbal of Malchus Shemayim, and everything that emanates from that. And I have a Munah Shlema in the Rabbanah Shalom, and my Munah Shlema emanates from Mitzias Mitzrayim, my Munah Shlema emanates from Matan Torah, and my Munah Shlema exists, Shlemas. Shlema means Shlema. Shlema doesn't mean 50%. 50% is a short time. It means 100%. It's 100% Amunah. So it's something that we have to work on. It's something that is a challenge in today's world, because we live in a world where people like to think for themselves, and people like to, experiment, and people like to think, and, investigate, and different views, and we live in a democratic world, so people think everyone has what to say. In the realm of Amunah, not everybody has what to say. In the realm of a lot of things, not everyone has to say. In the realm of Amunah, not everyone has what to say. So it's an important thing, something to think about in terms of Malachi. There's another dimension of Malchus that speaks to the heart.
Yeah.
Very much so. There is another critical component of Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim that, of course, speaks to us, particularly as Bnei Yeshiva. If Kriyat Shema is the parasha of Malchus Shemayim, the mitzvah Malchus Shemayim, so it's a little bit strange because almost the first thing that we talk about in Kriyat Shema is the significance of Talmud Torah. We barely get started. We just say Shema Yisrael, and the next thing you know is we're speaking about teaching our children and learning ourselves. What does that have to do with Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? I'm all for Talmud Torah. I'm a big fan. You didn't catch on yet. So big fans of Talmud Torah. What does that have to do with Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? Why is Libet HaTorah an expression of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? So Rashi quotes on the parashah of Kriyat Shema. Rashi writes that when you learn Torah, it has to be b'chol yom yubin ha-chadoshim. So Rashi gives you a mashal. It's a mashal to a king that sends out a decree. So a king sends out a decree. So some people get all excited. Wow, it's a new decree. Mamash right out of the palace. And so I saw this already. This has already been plastered on the walls of Meir Shalom from 6 months ago. This is already old stuff. You know, this is not a new one. So when I walk in Yerushalayim, I try to see if somebody died recently. Sometimes you see the person 5-6 months ago. They didn't take it down. It hasn't been covered by 500 things yet. So is it a new decree or an old decree? So that's how you have to approach Talmud Torah. So listen to the words of Rashi. Listen to the Moshe of Rashi. It's a decree of the king. If you want to know what Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is, when the king sends a message, you read the message. When the king sends you a letter, you read every word of that letter. The person doesn't just, the king sent me. If the king sends you a generic letter, you know, dear Rabbi Sablowski, let me tell you a little bit. This is what I want of you. I'm going to read every single word, every single letter. I'm going to be medayik in the letters. I'm going to learn kavachimus from the letters, if it's appropriate, unless it's onshim and adin. I'm going to be making milsa and milsa and matzads. I'm going to spend 3 days on trying to figure out, is that what the king meant? Maybe the king meant fakir. Maybe the Karen of the Torah is Talusha. We spent 3 days trying to figure out what a potential hava means, what the Melech Machem Lochem meant. I didn't even mean that. It wasn't even what the king said. The hava mina. Ken Zayin, he could have meant that. Even a Ken Zayin with the Rebbeinu Shlom could have meant requires 3 days of limud. Okay, some yeshivas spent a little bit overboard on that, but you know, until you got the basic idea. Every single prat, every single sifkot, and every single shtilotay, every single nuance of the Melech Machim and Lochim is something that requires all of our constant attention. That's what Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is. So when a person is involved in Limud HaTorah, it's not just I'm learning Torah. I'm being Mamlech Rebbeinu Shel Olam. This is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim in the highest level. A person who's involved in Limud HaTorah is Mamish expressing his understanding, cognizant of the significance of Malchus Shemayim. So the first thing we have to know clearly is Malchus. That's the first of the brachos. Got to go in order. So good. So Makabel, Malchus, Makabel, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Melech. We realize the role of Talmud Torah plays in terms of our Kabbalah. Our Kabbalah is going to be Be'emunah Shleima, not going to be any pipukim, not going to be any room for error in our Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Let me move to the next bracha, the bracha Zichronus. So the bracha Zichronus is a tricky bracha because it's not exactly clear who is the Zoicher and who is being Nisgar. So most of the bracha is clear. Most of the bracha has the Rebbeinu Shalom playing out, so to speak, as being the Zoicher. As the bracha begins with after Zoichem, as Olam, and ends with bracha Hashem Zoicher Bris. And most of the psukim bear out this idea that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is being Zoicheras on the Emedim. But there's one phrase in the bracha of Zichronus that sticks out and almost contradicts the entire theory of what the bracha is all about. We speak about Ashrei Ish Shaloish Gechecha Uven Adam Yisamitz Boch. We say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, happy is the person who doesn't forget you. Happy is the person who doesn't forget you. It's a Gevaldik. It's a beautiful song. Ashrei Yish Elo Yish. It's a beautiful, it's Gevaldik. I got it on a good CD also. It's not the Baruch Bear one. It's another Yeshiva Shiv CD. Ashrei Yish Elo Yish. I can only do it when the kids are not in the car, because anytime the kids are in the car and they stop playing them, they switch to some fancy, you know, some more modern sounding songs. Those who don't know, I'm still stuck in the 1920s in comments. So Ashrei Yish Elo Yish Kechecha Uven Adam Yisam Itzbach. Happy is the person who remembers Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a beautiful thing, what does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the Rebbeinu Shlomo remembering us. What does that have to do with Asher Ish L'Asher Echeka? There's a famous Rashi in Parshas Balak where the Malach gives Musar, very, very short Musar to Bilam. And I'm sorry, the Duncan, the Aselin gives a very, very short Musar to Bilam. And he says to Bilam, he says, Lami ki son is Esha Losher Galim. Why did you hit me three times? So Rashi quotes, it's a very, very strange Loshim. Regalim is not the usual way you describe times, usually Pamim. So why Regalim? It's a remez l'davar. It's a remez to the mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim. And the Asel, the donkey, saying to Bilam, you're coming to destroy a nation that's about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they're about to celebrate the Gibbon Regalim. You're coming to uproot such a nation. The donkey wanted to pick on one of the 613 mitzvahs. He could have said, you Bilam, you Menuvel, you Mushchas, you're coming to knock out a nation that's going to put on film. You're only going to knock out a nation that's going to keep Shabbos. All the 613 mitzvahs, those are the mitzvah. Zeh Shalosh Regalim, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel Mayim. The Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, the Torah says, Shalosh Barim Yerah Kol Zuchurcha. So the word Yerah is almost like a play on the word Yerah. Gemara actually learns out did it from this that it's ke'ilu, it's written yira and yira at the same time. It's spelled the same way, but it's pronounced very differently. Yira and yira means that when we come aliyah l'regel, we're coming for two reasons. Coming to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yira kol zuchorcha, or also coming yira kol zuchorcha, we're coming to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Jews come for Lila Regab Sabrisketar, you come for two reasons. You're coming to see and to be seen. That's the nature of the mitzvah of Lila Regab. What does that mean, to see and to be seen? So a lot of people have this grandiose desire. They want to see a Kaddish Baruch. They want to understand Kaddish Baruch. They want to get a glimpse into the divine. It's a very noble gesture. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And there was an individual who had that. Apparently that desire, and he actually succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. That was Bilam. Bilam saw a lot. He saw Nofelig Le'enayim, Yodea Daselya, and he saw he's very, very, very clear picture. Not as clear as Moshe Rabbeinu, but almost. Lo'kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe, lo'kam b'Moshe Olam. Bilam was close. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was up there. He had a good glimpse into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw a lot. The question is, when a person wants to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they want to have this deep understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do they understand what that entails? To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a price tag to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The price tag is, in a very good way, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to enable myself, so to speak, to be seen to a certain degree, on one condition. I'll let you see me, but I want to see you also. Because I want it to be a two-way street. I'll let you get a glimpse into me, but I want to take a glimpse into you as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at me, well, it's a whole different ballgame. So I have to act appropriately. Because Baruch Hu is going to look down at me. What's he going to see? He's going to see me doing inappropriate things. He's going to see me living a life of a Bilam. Or is he going to see me living a life of somebody who it's magia to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Yiri Yeroya, the message of Aliyah L'Regel to Klal Yisrael is that we're going to give you an unbelievable opportunity to come to the Beis HaMikdash and to see Ashras HaShechina. You're going to see the Nisim Galuyim of the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to get a glimpse of the Anan Hashem, and you're going to see the Gevaldik Ashras HaShechina. But if you walk away from that Ashras HaShechina, the same kind of a person that you were before, so then all you did was you had some nice philosophical, delving into divinity, and you try to get some kind of a religious experience, and you got yourself into some trance, into some hypnotic trance or something, and you got yourself high on something, and you got yourself spiritually gevaldig, and you're the same mushkos and the same menuvel and the same behema that you were beforehand. So you were yira, you yisua HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the mitzvah of the regel. The mitzvah of the regel is yira yira. You have to realize that to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu means you have to be worthy to be able to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So that's what the Asom says to Bilam. He says, look at you, Bilam. He said, you claim, rightfully so, that you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look at you, I'm your Asan. And Chazal say, the Asan knew exactly what Bilam was like a Mishkav Behemoth, a Menuvash, a Mushchas, of the lowest level. And yet at the same time he was saying that he wants to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Chabot, so the Asan says to him. He says, for the person who is not able to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because your life is not worthy of the Baruch Hu looking at you, so then eventually you're going to lose your power of sight as well. Haraya, Bilam lost his power of sight. Afilu Mashu Behemto lo ra. The Ason saw the Malach and he didn't say anything. Bilam's walking. The same Bilam who 5 minutes before could see Yodea Das Elia, and he can't even see a little flimsy Malach in front of him. Even an Ason could see a Malach. Because if you don't live up to being seen by Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then you lose that ability right away. So it's that relationship that you have with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It goes two-way street, a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we mean when we speak about the Baruch of Zichronis as well. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember us. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to have a relationship with us. So when we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to have a relationship with us, part of that is we have to have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't turn around and ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember us without incorporating that we are going to remember him. The Tanai, the condition, the Tanai Kofel of the Baruch of Zichronis is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is being asked to remember us L'Toiva. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking one thing of us, to remember him L'Toiva also. That's it. Asher Ishlosh Kachaka. Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to remember his existence, to live our lives being Zoicher as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's quite a challenge. How do we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we make sure we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we find that there are many mitzvahs at Torah of Zechira. There's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim has two parts to it. Once a year we make a whole tadaram about the Pesach. We make a Hazal Del HaSeder. We don't make a Seder every night. We make a Seder every Friday night. Once a year we make a Seder. And then during the course of the year we draw inspiration from that Del HaSeder. We make Kiddush on Friday night and we say Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. That's why it's important when you're making Kiddush on Friday night. So when you're thinking about Shabbos and Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim, remember it's the same spot. I mean, this is where I ate matzah a few months before, assuming that's where it was. So I ate matzah a few months ago. So wow, it reinforces. I remember, I make reference back. I have a very powerful, vivid image of what it meant like to sit down to my Lel HaSeder, to eat my matzah, Maror. So every week, I remember, every Friday night I make a Zeichas Yisrael Mitzrayim. Every morning, every night, I say Kriya Shema, so I remember the Yom Tov HaPesach. I reference back to the Yom Tov HaPesach. That's why the Yom Tovim are so powerful. The Yom Tovim is so important when there's a Pagam in Yom Tov. It's not just a Pagam in Yom Tov. It's a Pagam in the entire year, because the entire years of Avodas Hashem is drawing inspiration for that particular Yom Tov. So if there was something, if the Bezman Matan Tarasein of Shavuos wasn't up to par because I got distracted with other things, so then that's going to impact on the Limud HaTorah the entire year. If my Zman Chirusein of Pesach wasn't up to par because I was too busy doing other things on Pesach and I didn't quite focus on what I was supposed to be focusing on, so then my entire Amun of Hashem is going to be flawed. My entire Yetzias Mitzrayim, every Shabbos is going to be chaser. Every day, every Kriyshma is going to be lacked. So you have to take the Yom Tovim so seriously. They're not just days in the calendar, days off from yeshiva, days off from work. They're moments that impact on the entire year and the entire Ruchnius is being drawn from the days of Yom Tov. So my whole Machos Shemayim of the whole year is being drawn from Rosh Hashanah. The whole Chazar B'tshuva, the entire year, my whole connecting, whole Dveikus B'Shev is being drawn from Yom Kippur. My whole Simchas HaTorah is drawing from Simchas Torah. Every Yom Tov has the koyach to impact on the entire year. So when it comes to Zichronos, so the Torah insists that we make very, very special events to be able to draw inspiration from, but then you have to follow up with dosages, small dosages. You can't just give a person a big, heavy-duty dosage of, give them a wham of a medicine. You got to follow, no, imagine if the world of medicine also. This person gets sick, so they give him antibiotics. So now today's derech is many antibiotics. You get some heavy-duty dosage the first day. I take two of those big fat pills sometimes. And then you don't have to stop with that. You have to take a few more, no? Okay, good motion. Okay, so you have to give a big kick. You got to get rid of that bug, fight it at first. Bring out the heavy duty. Then you got to clean up. Then you got to keep on going a little bit. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo expects of us to be zoicher him. How are we going to be zoicher him? So we got to, Yom Nerayim is an unbelievable time. We got to put such koicha, such emphasis into the next couple of days to be zoicher, asher yish leishkecheka, to remember the Rebbeinu Shlomo, shevisei shem l'shem, to make such a tadaram about it. That's the whole essence of the day. And then the rest of the year, when it's harder, when it's midterms, or when it's finals, or on vacation, or we have other things going on, and we don't exactly feel that excitement, we don't feel that closeness to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So Asher Yish Leishkecheka, draw inspiration from these days. If these days aren't loaded, if they're not saturated with Asher Yish Leishkecheka, so then they're going to wear off. this year is a dangerous year because it's a 13th month year. So between this Rosh Hashanah, it's got to last till next Rosh Hashanah. It's got to last an extra month. So you got, like when you run a business, if you have an extra month, you got to make sure you got enough money to cover the extra month. So you got to really, really, really be careful this year. Get it the best out of Rosh Hashanah. Asher Yishlosh Kachach for the rest of the year. Then we move into the third category, the category of Shofaros. So Shofaros is the most difficult of all the brachas because it's the most diverse. It jumps around. Malchias is very straightforward. Everything is Malchus Shema, Malchus Shema, Malchus Shema, Zichronis, Zichronis. Shofaros is much more difficult to pinpoint because we jump from the Shofar of Kabbalah Satorah to the Shofar of Mashiach, to Chesed Meis, everywhere we're going. What's the common denominator? So the Rav explained that the common denominator of all the Shofaros is Ashras HaShechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays his presence clearly in the world, so then it's always accompanied by a Shofar. Allah came to Hashem called Shalom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented himself in Mamad HaSinai, who was accompanied by a Shofar. And we also love all, Yimasa Mashiach, Tekabah Shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's call, the trumpet that announces HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, is the call of Shofar. So what's happening in Rosh Hashanah is the Kodesh Baruch Hu is being Masha Shechinasai. It means the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not in the Olam HaSal Yonim alone anymore. He's very, very much here. He's always here. He's always here. But there are times when he reveals himself even clearer. Dir Shashem B'motzo. So Chazal explained to us, we have a tradition that this period of time, the Seras Yom, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, there's a Ashras HaShechinah that's not existent the rest of the year. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not as close the rest of the year as he is now. So it's an unbelievable kochos that we have to make the most of the days of Aseres Metshuva, beginning of the Shoshana. We blow the shofar almost announcing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very much in this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here in front of us. That's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different existence, a whole different world. So these are some of the things we're supposed to be thinking about. We're supposed to be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot these days. That you have to think a lot about Shortam and Shavu, and you have to think about his Torah, because his Torah is his Chochmah, and that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to spend most of our time doing. But these days of the year are days thinking a lot about the Rebbeinu Shalom. Sometimes people accuse us, they say that, oh, you guys, all you do is you learn Talmud, although you don't think about Hashem. You don't think about Hashem? We don't think about Hashem. We think about Hashem all the time. Sometimes Reb Chaim Volozhin that you were referring to before, so he speaks about the pros and cons of, you know, in the middle of learning a Sugya. So maybe every once in a while I should stop, close the Gemara, and get yourself all fired up to get, you know, back into the right frame of mind. Okay, so maybe you should do that formally or informally, whatever the case may be. But of course we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's everything. But the Rebbeinu Shem gave us a beautiful, wonderful Torah, and he gave us a Torah to learn, he gave us mitzvahs to perform, and he gave us on the Mokhos and on the Chaveros, he gave us the Mahalach HaChayim. So we can't begin to make those tikkunim. We can't begin to fix up some of the ways that may have gone off a little bit as the year has gone. It's been a long, long year since last Yom Kippur. So maybe we got a little bit rusty in certain things. Maybe we went off a little bit. Maybe we, you know, we could do a little bit better. We could touch things up a little bit. So Yom Kippur's time for, you know, oiling the, you know, the wheels a little bit to make sure everything's back in sync. But you can't open up with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's the last day of session, not the first day. The first day of Seder Mitzvah was Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is the time to get our priorities straight, to get our Mahalach Hashkafas Achayim right. So our entire Hashkafas Achayim is found in the world of Mahalach Zichronos and Shofaros. So the recitation of the Mahalach Zichronos and Shofaros is not just a din, it's halacha. But as we start off by saying that from the world of the halacha, so you see very much what the Hashkafas HaTorah is. The Hashkafas HaTorah, the Hashkafas Achayim is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's davening, Rosh Hashanah's tefillah, the three brachas of Musaf are not just the longest Shemoneh of the year. It has to be that. But if you just run through them and you don't realize that this is the charge of life, this is what sets the tone for the entire year, then you miss the boat of Rosh Hashanah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya, to daven properly, to hear the kol shofar. Kol shofar should wake us up. It should wake us up to read the words of the Machzor. To read the words of the Machzor. Just re-listen to the words of the Machzor. You have time in the afternoon to read the article in the bottom, Matay. Just read the words. The words themselves say everything. Just live your lives. And Machas Rosh and Shofaros. The Baruch should give us Siyat Tishmaya. That should be a good year. We should get off on the right foot. And the Baruch should give us a lot of brachas. And Mitzvah Shem Ba'asim Ha'Kras. Okay. Wish everybody a Siyat Tishmaya. And just what's our schedule? This is casual. What our schedule is.